You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Good morning, Asbury. How are you today? Good. Yes, good. It's a good day. We are going to start with a very informal survey. I was inspired. Dr. Nicholson did this kind of survey across chapel, yes, and good. And so we're going to do the same. So if this is true for you, I just want you to applaud. Signal by applause. How many of you have chosen a degree, a major, or likely you think you've honed in on probably your major? And by the way, it's okay if you haven't on any of these questions. How many of you think you know what you want to do after graduation? Yes? How many of you know, how many of you have life goals, so beyond career? Perhaps travel, starting a family, maybe owning a house one day. You have some big picture long-term goals for yourself. Okay, this one, you do not need to respond. You can respond silently. How many of you at some point, maybe even today, have actually wrestled with your purpose and meaning of life? Or perhaps even just the next step, like you're not totally sure where you're going. It's okay, you're a very honest crowd, yes. Yes, I applaud that too. Right, we often think about meaning and purpose of life in terms of education, in terms of our career, in terms of our goals, our accomplishments. And we should have goals. I don't discount any of those things. Those are good things to have. But what about the purpose of life itself? Like, why does the world exist at all? Why are humans here? Why are we here in the grand scope of all of history of creation? And what do we do when we know the right answers to that question, and yet our deepest fears and thoughts actually challenge what we know to be the right answer? One final survey question for you. You can respond to this one. Who's excited about the Old Testament? Yes, yes. We are going to jump in. I have a passage I'm going to read from Ecclesiastes 1, verses 1 through 11. You can follow along on the screen. It's a little lengthy, but I know you can handle it. Ecclesiastes begins with this. The words of the teacher, son of David, king of Jerusalem. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and it turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, there they return again. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear of hearing. What has been done will be done again. What has been done will indeed be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, there's something new? It was here long ago. It was here before our time. No one remembers the former generations, and yet those, and even those yet to come, will not be remembered by those who follow them. Aren't you glad you came for this uplifting message today? Don't worry, we're not done yet. We're going somewhere with this. I absolutely love passages that seem just a little odd or difficult initially. I love that challenge, and I love to dig into that, and I hope you're willing to as well. So obviously, this sounds initially like a very bleak passage for us to focus on. But really, have these words ever resonated with you? At some level, have you ever wondered, really, what am I doing? What's the point of everything? Where is this going? And is this of any lasting significance? And these questions can come from the most intelligent, organized, diligent people. Those questions are not a sign of laziness or that you don't have a life plan together. Well, the book of Ecclesiastes is written by Koheleth. That is the Hebrew word, the title that is being used. So it's a title rather than a personal name. It means teacher, maybe even philosopher. Some of your translations might say preacher. We have in this book a collection of reflections and questions about the meaning and the struggle of life that we all face. Now, something I want you to take note here. Koheleth, our writer, the teacher, he is very, very well educated. This is not out of ignorance that he is wrestling with these issues. He's well educated. He knows the Hebrew Torah, the law. He's well accomplished. He's experienced. He's got a great reputation and social standing. In fact, he's the person who should have all the, quote, right answers. And yet, in fact, I would argue he actually does have the right answers. He can recite them. But we read the words, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Some of your translations might even say vanity, the vanity of vanities. That's a Hebrew grammarism. You know how we have the Holy of Holies in the temple? Grammatically, that means it is the utmost holy place. Grammatically, that's what's happening here, except with meaninglessness. So the absolute utmost absurdity, futility, is this range and this meaning here. The Hebrew word is havel. By the way, quick plug for Hebrew. I teach biblical Hebrew. You can learn that. I love to point out Hebrew whenever I can. Here's the depths of the meaning behind this word, meaningless. It could be futility, absurdity, vapor, breath, a mere breath. Something that is so fleeting, it is here one moment, it's gone the next, and therefore it doesn't have the meaning. What has led our author here to this point of despair? Well, verses 3 and 4, what do people gain from all the toil at which they toil under the sun? A generation comes and a generation goes, but the earth remains forever. Well, in case you had not noticed, life is a lot of work. It involves a fair amount of stress, even if we enjoy our lives. Your classes, yeah, sometimes they're a bother. They're a lot of work. We give you work to do. You may be balancing a job with your studies. You may have a place on an athletic team. Maybe campus commitments. Maybe you even have friends and family and you want to spend time with them. Maybe you're involved in your church. All of these things are such good things. And then you're going to graduate and you're going to get a job. And that will come with perks. That's exciting. But it also comes with new stress, new pressure, new responsibilities. And then maybe one day you'll have a family. And maybe you have a house, and maybe you have more responsibilities. Those responsibilities keep growing and growing, and they're good things. But guess what? The toil keeps stacking up, and that stress load keeps stacking up. And so we gotta work more to provide for that family. And it just feels like this never-ending cycle. The author of Ecclesiastes is pondering on this. He's observing that the sheer amount of work and struggle that exists in our lives. We do this unending cycle of work, 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 provide, 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 and then we die. It's all over. What is the gain of this? He says, a generation comes, a generation goes. Life goes on without us. It just keeps going. Okay, maybe you're wondering, when does this message take a positive turn? Not yet. Not yet. Things get worse before they get better. From chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes, verses 19 and 20, even more depressingly, here's what our author says, quote, "For the fate of humans and the fate of animals is the same. No one as one dies, so the other dies. They all have the same breath. Humans have no advantage over the animals, for all is fleeting, meaningless. All go to one place, and all are from the dust, and they return to dust," end quote. Ouch. Yeah, talk about a downer. That's a very sobering kind of reality. What are we supposed to do with this when we read scripture? This is scripture. What are we supposed to do with this? Why on earth is impending death and doom the focus of our chapel today? Please stay with me. We're not done yet. I would think most of us agree that if we're doing pursuing work and tasks without the right purpose, of course, they can become a hardship, right? Perhaps even we might say they're accomplished in vain. But Koheleth, that's the teacher, he knows this. And yet he's still wrestling with the fact that life is a series of tasks and projects and work and nothing which is truly new, nothing that may or may not be remembered long term. And so we now go on to his next reflection. As he's still pondering, he says, all right, how about pleasure then? How about what he calls the delights of the flesh? If life is such a pain, if life is such a bother, if it's so unrelenting, why not throw in the towel? Just focus on fun. Focus on comfort. Focus on pleasure with no consequences. Why not keep the good times rolling if everything is so fleeting? Chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, he says this, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for my toil. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. It was havel, futility, a mere breath. The conclusion of someone who likely has the highest level of education, who is well-versed in Jewish religion and Jewish teaching. He's got abundant wealth, he's super popular, he has indulged in every kind of good and bad temporary pleasure, and in the end, he says, it was worthless. It didn't fill me. It meant nothing. It doesn't last. These things in themselves cannot bring us true meaning and true life. They are but a mere distraction to a deeper need to know and to serve our Creator. So this author, he is facing the stark reality that in the end, he will die. And all of these achievements, that popularity, the wealth, the possessions, they could not produce life in him. And they could not sustain him beyond his bodily death. These things are of no comfort to him when he's alone with his thoughts, wondering on his true value and purpose of his very existence. Here's the reality. We ultimately cannot construct true meaning and true life for ourselves. We can try, and we do. And often it takes the form of distraction. And the thing about distraction is sometimes it looks like productivity. We gotta be careful and examine our own hearts. What's going on? When we're alone at night wrestling with our own thoughts and fears, what do we hear? We are not able to produce abundant and everlasting life within ourselves and from our own works. That's good news. Where do we go from here? What's the takeaway message of this passage? What are we doing here in Ecclesiastes? Well, let's think about for a moment, why does this author actually have these somber reflections? Why are they recorded in our scripture? Again, this author, well-educated, well-versed in Hebrew Jewish teaching, he could have written us a manual, a step-by-step guide on how to be successful. Do these three things and you will live a wise life. But actually, he's writing in what's called the wisdom tradition. What is that? Well, it means his writing is intentionally reflecting honest, raw thoughts and experiences from life with the purpose of giving godly teaching to the next generation. That's us. There's been many generations since his time. That includes us. This book is designed to be read to the next generation for instruction, its cautionary tale, as well as proactive looking ahead for teachings of how to live. Note also, the writer of Ecclesiastes, he's part of the faith community. He's part of a learning community in his own context, in his own way. We wrestle with big issues. Let's not distract ourselves from actually facing the hard issues. Let's work through them. Let's confront them with the Lord. And so he records his very real experience and wrestling with the meaning of life. He knows how to say the right answers, but deep down, he also knows his experience and his choices are contrary. So what does he do? Well, thankfully, the book does not leave us hanging in this bleak place. And instead, we read a call to a very good and purposeful life in the Lord. Not in havel, meaninglessness. He instructs, he reflects on the end of his life and instructs the next generations about the things he's learned. Chapter 12 is the last chapter in Ecclesiastes, and it starts with this. This is the call for us too. Remember, as in pay attention to, your Creator in the days of your youth before the days of trouble come. That means all the days of your life. You are not called to suddenly take an interest in God when you're on your deathbed. You are not called to keep God at the back of your mind until you get wise and mature. No, no. This is this wise writer who has explored everything in life has said, you need to be paying attention now, today, whatever age you are at, remember your Creator. He ends the book with these two verses. The end of the matter is this. All has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for that is the whole duty of humanity. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or bad, whether toil or pleasure. All is seen by God. And so the day-to-day tasks of life, our work, our studies, our hobbies, our campus life, they're not meaningless. They're not mere vapor, just fleeting, when they're surrendered and they're rooted in the Lord, in his kingdom life, in his kingdom community. He's called us to be part of it. Note, kingdom community, we wrestle with it individually, but also all together. We are not called to try to figure out our whole existence on our own. We are called to be together as the body of Christ. And you have an excellent opportunity here at Asbury to do that. Fear God and keep his commandments. The writer of Ecclesiastes comes to this deep awareness that without the fear and the worship of the Lord, everything is indeed pointless because it is fleeting. Because it is void of meaning if it's not found in him. He is the branch, and we are the vine, and we are all connected, and we need to be in him, and we need him in us for our work to be fruitful. Those who walk with the Lord enter into a rich and abundant life that is overflowing with purpose, even if we don't always see it the way we expect it. Right? Sometimes our expectations for our life are a little different. But our takeaway point, what is our takeaway? What's our message, our application? Well, it is simple, but it's challenging because words are cheap. Action is where it counts. We got to get serious about this. You and I cannot construct true meaning and true life for ourselves. Right? Most of us would say that just verbally. Yeah, that's the right answer. But really, we cannot. You can try, I can try. But in the end, what we find is that it results in futility, meaninglessness. Maybe not initially, but later on. That's what this author is reflecting on. He didn't just accomplish something one day and then felt empty the next. No, it took him a while to come to that conclusion. We need to be thinking bigger picture and not squandering our lives today. The fear of God. Let's guard and keep his commandments. Guarding and keeping, what does that mean? It means paying close attention to. It doesn't mean remember up here just in your head, remembering. It means put it into practice. Do what you can to be familiar with his word, to be following his commandments, his guidelines. Put it into practice, into your own life. Pursue the path of true life, which in the New Testament, the Gospel of John says. John 10:10. Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. He also says in chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We don't have to live in this state of perpetual pointless activities, busy work, busy distractions to keep us from pondering on the hard issues, to simply going through the motions. No, no. What if instead of clinging to meaningless, everything is meaningless, instead we move to embrace, remember your Creator, and fear God, keep his commands. It is in him that we are truly free to live the meaningful and the abundant life we were created for.